I just believe in the process, and we're going to win going through the process.
Now, Bills Mafia, it's time for the main event. So sit back and enjoy the show.
Bills Mafia, welcome to the Red, White and Buffalo Blues, a UK Bills podcast, Bills News with the UK twist. It's Robin and myself.
Good evening.
Today, as we review week two and a bounce back game. And also later on, preview the game against the Commanders. Now, I mean, first thought, Robin, on week two, the nice bounce back game. It was needed.
Too
easy.
It depends. There was a lot of people swearing. If you remember those the first possession, Raiders go down the field, score a touchdown, Bills go three and out. A lot of people throwing TVs out the window, weren't there, at that point? But then it settled down. It's, again, you don't want to lose your head, do you? Because after that, the Raiders never got a look in, and the Bills were dominant. I'm not going to start with the negative, but I just want to point out, I don't think a single player particularly had a bad game, and I think there's a whole bunch of people that I'd like to give some credit to. I mean, we have to start with Josh Allen. After that three and out, he was almost. He was conservative. He played within himself, but he was just fantastic, I thought. But I'm going to go to my guy. I'm going to go to my guy. You know, Spencer Brown. I thought he had a bit of help. They chipped the edges. They had a bit of tight end support and that kind of thing. But I watched several plays of his, of him moving defenders out of the way, keeping him away from Josh, pass protection, run blocking. It was good, and I just hope this gives him the confidence boost he needs to roll on.
Well, when you go up against Max Crosby and you don't give up a quarterback hit, pressure, or a sack, and don't forget that next to him, he's got rookie Osiris Torrance, and both they played 100% of the offensive snaps. When you've got guys... Yeah. Those two, and Spencer Brown, have always injury history, always ups and down performances last season. To hold out a guy like Max Crosby is actually good. And I think he credited Kingsley Jonathan for actually pressing him for it. Because
played a spy Kingsley for him, didn't he?
He was the Max Crosby on the practice squad for that week. And it was interesting because reading about that, obviously Kingsley studied all the tape of Max Crosby, and they went to that Von Miller summit, defensive end summit, or defensive line summit, and actually got to study him up close and personal there, and brought some of the moves into practice to help Spencer Brown. So it shows that even though you're a practice squad guy, you still have a huge part to play in this season, and actually are still a vital part of the team, even if you don't play and get elevated to the 53 during the season.
Absolutely no doubt. And I really hope that he's whatever Spencer Brown was doing or not doing or doing right, I hope he's kind of figured something out now. And you look at it across all sports as well, like how much confidence is a factor in how well people play. And he must have been down. He must have been, you know, he's not stupid. He would have been hearing all the criticism and all the booing and that kind of thing that was always headed his way. And he's had an absolutely cracking game. You just hope he takes it into the game, because I tell you what, we'll talk about Washington later on, but they've got a defensive line that's going to test him on Sunday as well. So I mean, if he comes out of that game without a pressure or a sack given up, then we've got a right tackle. So I genuinely, as a Bills fan, you know, I want our players to be good. So I couldn't be happy for him that he's had a really good win and he's getting the credit that he deserved. Can I ask another question? I'm just gonna throw it out about something about two games. Do we have a running game? Because I think the Bills have a running game.
It's possible. I mean,
I think we can run the ball.
Well, we definitely can with Cook. It shows that we can do with Cook, and what they've done with him, they seem to get more success doing the draw play on with Cook than they have with him actually running. So it's good. We're seeing a bit more variety rather than just doing the smash up the gut or the outside tackled runs on there. But yeah, three-headed monster. I mean, Murray actually. Yeah. I think Cook was the only one that didn't get the touchdown out the running backs. But Murray got the first one. Yeah. Harris got the second one. But 124 yards on what? 17
carries,
something like that.
What I've got in front of me is 17 carries,
yards, and 7.2.
Yeah, but 7.2 yards per carry. But even if you take out the 36-yard long, that still leaves him with 87 or 88, depending on how, of 16 carries, which is still 5.5. So even if you take out the longest run he did, he's still racking up 5.5. And you saw it all the way through the game. And we mentioned there about Josh being conservative and dink and dunk and what have you. The amount of times the Bills were going on 1st and 10, running with Kirk, getting a 2nd and 6 or a 2nd and 5, and then just chipping in with another like 3 or 4 yards. And they were getting like 3rd and 1s, 3rd and 2s. And how much easier is your job when you're playing on a 3rd and 2 when you only need 2 yards compared to a 3rd and 6 or a 3rd and 7? The difference they're getting those yards on the first downs. They're making the second and third downs much more manageable. They're keeping the offense on the field, and what it's giving them as well, old fashioned as hell, it's giving them a play action option now, because they're committing to the run, which means that if Josh then pulls his arm back, he's got receivers he can throw to as well. So that element of it, I just think. They'll stay with it. It's two games. Let's not get carried away. But I think they've figured something out in that running game.
I think it's good that we're actually getting. We've had more variety on that offense now. I mean,
yeah.
Total, we had 450 total yards, 29 first downs, and
yeah.
And it wasn't all passing. Obviously, we mixed in the run game on there, and. It's good that we're seeing a lot more decisions. Obviously, Josh actually not really trying to force the issue. And this is where we see the best Josh, when he doesn't force anything. And he actually he takes his time. Okay, it did help that he got sacked like once, maybe twice or something like that. So he had time in the pocket. But he was 80% completion rating, 80 to 9 different receivers. And I think this should be a banker for every home opener. Every home opener, you might as well just go down the bookies and put a game where Josh Allen will throw 3 touchdowns, no interceptions on the home opener.
Yeah.
Because that's his 4th straight home opener with that stat.
Yeah.
And it's just refreshing. It's just refreshing to see. Because, I mean, this is the Jets. Methodical. Yeah. And I think, what was it? I think everything's gone up. I think they're now 5th after that game. They're 5th in yards with 284 yards after the catch. And obviously, Davis was a lot more involved this time than Stephon Diggs. But you just see the difference. You just see the difference. Against the Jets, Allen's yards per attempt was 5.8 yards. Week 2 of 7.4. Okay, his air yards decreased from 7.4 against the Jets to 3.9 against the Raiders. Shows that he wasn't forcing it. And most of his throws were 5 air yards or fewer, if I can actually put it on there. Yeah. Where he threw 4 passes for 15 or more in week 2, but he threw 9 against the Jets. So we're seeing now that he's really checking down, he's actually making decisions. And when Allen is in that mood, and he hadn't rushed either, he only got bare scrambles when needed. But once we get Josh in there, then there's no stopping this offense.
No, there really isn't, and that's what I'm saying. They've managed to get the three-headed monster to take the scrambles away and the designed runs away from Josh, and actually improve the offense of a whole, because they managed to rebalance it, haven't they? I don't know if you've got the stat in front of you of what the breakdown of pass plays to run plays is, but I really feel it was probably 55-45%, something like that. It wasn't like a 70-30 sort of split. It was much more even. And if you can run the ball, if you can play action it, if you can short pass it, you get those yards after catch as well. I wonder as well, yes, it was a bad game against the Jets, but I wonder if, you know, we talked about 12 personnel to death. You don't show your hand in the preseason. So you just wonder as well that maybe it took a couple of games to get the 12 personnel lineups and those formations sort of a bit more settled, and just to get a sort of playbook just where you can figure out everyone out and where they are and, you know, get the balance, get it to diced up. But again, talking about giving credit, and I think we probably have to, Ken Dawson called a great game. I didn't have too many plays I disagreed with.
Yeah, no, I just think it's a lot easier to actually to do it when you have that sort of game. When you have a game where your coordinator is actually showing a lot more ingenuity. Sorry, that was
ingenuity, intuition as well.
That's the word. But I think it's a lot better, and it shows what, when you give it time, when you actually go through the progressions and you have an O-line that's going to give you good protection, that you can dissect. And I say, this is what we really want to see going forward. And this could actually give us a bit more of a heads up and give us that boost we need going into the next few weeks, where it's going to be a case that we're going to be facing teams with stingy defenses. I think
I'm not convinced on Miami's defense yet, but Jacksonville is probably decent as well. So
I think it's good to see. I mean, I say they get more and more people involved in the game. I think we're still yet to see Sherfield.
No, he still hasn't had a target.
Field, like 72 snaps. Didn't have a has had a target. I don't think he had like one target last year, or last season. But Shakir only had 12%, and he had about two or three catches. So it's interesting to see what's actually happening and how they do it. But the fact that we're using loads of different people is actually good for this offense. And Kincaid and Knox were dead on, almost 55 for Knox, 47 for Kincaid. But Kincaid looks even more better than he did in the previous game.
Yeah, he's going to be an absolute superstar, isn't he? I am glad that Knox got the touchdown. I'm a little worried about the injury report this week, because he did not practice today. But I am glad that Knox has still got, he's still making some plays, making some catches, because you need both tight ends to be effective to run 12 personnel. So I hope maybe Quentin Williams might have to come in for him on Sunday. Yeah, like you say, Khalil Shakir as well. What an absolute blinder of a catch, and brilliant Mahomes-esque throw from Josh to find him as well under pressure. Just zipped it out of the sort of side, out of that sort of sidearm little sort of bullet thing that he threw at him to Shakir, and he held onto it and straight in the end zone. So yeah, just that little variety. And what it'll mean is with Sherfield as well, still to make plays, we've still got more weapons that haven't even been looked at yet. So I just think it looks good. You just got to drive this Sunday.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's something that we definitely need to look at now, because it's one of those things that, as I say, we'll get sorted, and over time, the more and more that Allen gets comfortable and they start playing this system, that they will actually be able to get there. And I think we haven't mentioned the defense yet.
No.
Which held, held Josh Jacobs, the leading rusher last year, to minus 2 yards.
Yes.
Minus 2 yards. And what, that's a, 0.2 yards per carry on 9 carries. And he's the first player to hold the rushing title the previous year since the merger to actually run to finish a game with negative rush yards. Okay, he did add positives for his games, for his catching, even though he got mossed by Milano.
Yeah.
But
quick word on Milano for me.
Yeah.
Just
go for it.
I'd like to see a better linebacker than Matt Milano at the moment. And yeah, he's still kind of under the radar, isn't he? He's still sort of not really mentioned that often. He's still sort of thought of, to the extent he's even thought of at all, is something of a hidden gem or a kind of a unknown quantity, or don't sleep on Milano. He's one of the best linebackers in the league.
Yeah. I think he's only going to get better, and that's the good thing. I mean, the one thing that I found interesting again is Christian Benford. Again, he's made plays again.
Yeah,
and he played every single snap. They had 40 defensive snaps. He played all 40.
Yeah.
Next up was Trey White played 85% of it, and obviously then towards the end they actually used Neil Lewis, and even they only gave Dane Jackson 6 snaps.
Yeah.
And that was towards the end of the fourth quarter. So that kind of shows you that I think that now we've settled on our cornerback one, cornerback two. And to be honest, for a sixth round pick, bloody hell. He is actually good. He is actually starting to improve week after week.
But yeah, he's
it's good to see.
I think there's a terrible lag between us. We're on that satellite connection again. But as much as we might regret making Kyer Elam, had we known we were going to get Benford in the same year in the sixth round, it makes you wonder what we might have spent the first round pick on, knowing you had Benford. But it's kind of worked out in that slightly perverse way. I'm still glad with the depth we've got. I'm not ready to give up on Elam either. Maybe in another year he might have turned the thing around and just be more adaptable to that system. If he's a smart guy, he'll figure it out, and he'll be a year three breakthrough guy, kind of a bit like how Rousseau is at the moment. Quick word on him. Quick word to Earl Bernard. It's been nice interception, some nice tackles. He was near the top of the tackle list.
He was top tackler the last two games, and
it seems like
he's shown a lot of promise now. And I think I saw I'm trying to find a stat I brought up somewhere combining what him and Edmonds have done this season. Let me see if I've actually saved it.
Edmonds for the Bears,
have saved
or Edmonds it. For the Bills,
yeah. Edmonds for the Bears.
Okay.
This is talking about the run defense bit. From Tremaine Edmonds last year to Terrell Bernard this year after 2 games.
Right.
Edmonds, solo tackles 3. Bernard, solo tackles 4.
Okay.
Assisted tackles in 2002 for Edmonds, 0. Assisted tackles in 2023 for Bernard, 6. Missed tackles, 0 for Edmonds, 1 for Bernard. Okay. Run stops, 3 for Edmonds in 2022, 4 for Bernard in 2023, and the percentage 8.8 for Edmonds, 10.8 for Bernard. And the average depth of tackle is 0.7. Is that 0.7? Yeah, minus 0.7 for Edmund, 0.8 for Bernard. And you think a guy has come in, he's sat behind him, has actually given up that sort of numbers and actually showing that performance, really makes you think that, do we really need to look towards a linebacker in the draft or even free agency now? Has Bernard now taken over and he's back to the number one linebacker? Well, middle linebacker. Obviously, Milan is the number one linebacker in the Bills organization.
Yeah. Well, you've still got we've still got Dodson and Matakevich, haven't we? As mm-hmm. background, you maybe want to think about longer term, maybe the draft next year. But he looks like he can. First of all, it looks like the job's his now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
He's clearly announced the separation. It's amazing what he can do. Year two guy having a year two season. I think they'll bring someone in as a practice squad guy, because obviously we spoke about this before we started recording. Kirk's is retired, hasn't he? So at the very least, you think they're going to bring someone back. Oh no, wait, they put him, didn't they, onto the practice squad? So they're sort of there a bit. Longer term, I don't think it's a bad idea bringing somebody in, because Milan is maybe not going to live forever, so you maybe want to just think about slightly longer term. But what was the worries we had about how are we going to replace Tremaine Edmonds? How's the cornerback position going to look? I think after two games, we kind of answered those two questions, haven't we?
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, both the Jets and the Raiders have a strong running game. And obviously, the Jets have a decent passing game as well, even with Zach Wilson, it seems. But obviously, the next couple of, I think the next few games are going to determine it, because obviously, Miami, you've got Hill and Waddle.
Yep.
Washington, you've got McLaurin and Dotson. You've got Brian Robinson. You've got for Washington's. You've got obviously Mozart for the Dolphins. So you've got balanced offenses and decent run and pass offenses coming up. So if these two hold it, especially Benford and Bernard hold it in those two games and still come up on top and lead the stats, whether it be snap count and tackle count, then I think you're looking at a very solid draft. And again, there's a third round pick in Bernard, a sixth round pick in Benford.
Yeah.
He put in a seventh round pick with Nick Jackson, even though he didn't start that many, didn't get that many snaps. You see that we can, that there is talent there. It's just where we can get it and how do they fit the system.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely right. And what is going to matter? We haven't mentioned, actually, let's give another word while we're on the subject. Ed Oliver, defensive line.
Yes,
I think he's been mightily impressive through the year, without even kind of picking up many headlines. He's just sort of got on with it, and he's just like, he's a wrecker now. Hadn't you heard? There's that sort of thing. Oh yeah, by the way, Ed Oliver will kill you if he gets his chance.
Yeah.
So that defensive line looks settled.
Yeah, I don't care if they don't show up on the stats, like Russo and Floyd, if they don't get two or three sacks a game, if the defensive line don't get at least a sack or pressure on there, that to me doesn't bother me, because if they can affect the game without getting on the stat sheet like they did against the Raiders, then you know that it is actually a very solid D-line. Yes, you'd love to see Ed Oliver break out with two tackles for a loss, three solo tackles and a sack, quarterback hit and all that. And you want to see Russo, Floyd with three or four sacks on there. But even just as they did against the Raiders, I think they got like one and a half sacks or something like that. They didn't really disrupt and actually get the big plays on there, but they disrupted that offensive line and Garoppolo to actually allow the deep the linebackers and secondaries to make those plays to keep that score down.
Yeah. No, exactly right. And still got Von Miller to come back in a few weeks' time as well.
Exactly.
It's definitely rubbed off. I will say one thing, and this isn't a... This is a question, not a statement. And I want to know what you think, because it was almost all positive in the Raiders. And this isn't a negative in the Raiders game, but it's something I just wanted to ask about in the first couple of weeks. Are Poyer and Hyde looking a bit old? Or is it too early? Do you think this is one season too many?
I think it's a bit too early. I mean, especially on Hyde's part, where he's still trying to get back up to match speed. He didn't really have that much of pre-season. Obviously,
yeah,
he was available for the playoffs. He didn't really play. Poyer, I don't think so. I just think it's just early season form. I mean, if you ask me that after week 8 to week 9, and they're doing the same thing, then yeah, I'll say it's time for a fresh approach. But we know that in preseason the starters don't usually start, so all they're doing is really on the training field, just practicing. So if you ask me in the week 9, week 10, that sort of week, and say, are they getting old? Then I'll give you a better answer on that one.
Okay, fair enough. I'm just getting it in there. Hey, you could well be right. They could just be warming up. The word was that had we beaten the Bengals in the playoffs, Hyde would have been back for the championship game. So he was kind of ready to come back. I know Poyer is slightly different. He was, he did have a tough off season. So yeah, a couple of games in. Yeah, I am probably getting a bit too early, but I guess you have to find a negative somehow. Because there really wasn't much to criticize in the game. That was the absolute textbook get right game. And I think
before we go and preview the Washington game, obviously I did put on Twitter asking for your views on the bounce back game and your takes. And I've got 3 of them this time, so it's just good. I'm not going to go through about tens of thousands after the Jets won. Sam Waters, 1994. His take was James Cook just looks better every game, looks a threat on every single running play. And
yes, he does.
We've discussed that. He's
and he's a pass catcher. He's a pass catcher as well. We didn't even. Yeah, he picks up a few. He picked up. I had it right in front of me. Four for 36. In pass catching as well, which is just lovely. Don't do a lot. 4 or 5 catches, that's great. Just keeps the defense on the turn.
You see a lot of his brother in his runs and his play. It's actually scary, and obviously Delvin's actually not had the best of 2 games at the moment with the Jets. That much, but Cook versus Cook in the AFC East at the moment has been won by the younger bro.
Oh, the kid, yeah.
Even though the older bro's got the bragging rights in week 1. Roger Whiteside also said, came in with his take and said, 1-3 professional performance, nothing fancy, took what was given, a real team victory. Josh composed, another impressive game from Cook and the running backs. Kincaid are positive, even production from Epinesa and Shakir. Solid win, up and running, bring on Washington next week.
Yeah, damn right. It's the interesting thing, isn't it? Washington's won their first 2 games. They're going to be playing with a lot of confidence themselves. I think 53-53, 11-11, I think the Bills are better. But this is a game that if you want to be serious, you have to win. And I hope they approach it with a similar mindset. Don't try and blast them out of the sky, because I don't think you will. But take what they give you, and they've got good enough players to take advantage.
Yeah, and obviously we haven't mentioned Epinesa. I mean, he had one of his better games against the Raiders, and. Is showing that there is depth in there, and even if Floyd, and I think he's questionable this week, we'll go over it in the preview.
Could be tricky. Yeah.
Having Epinesa there might be a bit of a drop off, but we see he's still got that production in him that he will be able to give that pressure opposite Russo, and we just gotta work the inside. And then the last one was from John Sinkovic. He goes, when they're in the 12 or 13 personnel, Josh was 4 for 4, and the straight downhill running is how we need to run the ball. So what Cook did on the delay, they delayed it, and he ran pretty much straight down the middle. The games opened up, and obviously, and he gave me a stat.
Oh, okay.
James Cook was the first 100-yard rusher for the Bills since Shady McCoy.
Oh, Jesus, that's going back a bit as well. That's a solid 4 or 5 years as well, isn't it? That's more than Singletary. Well, I guess so.
Hey,
more than Singletary?
No, I don't think Singletary. I'll double check on that. I don't think.
Yeah. Well, no. If he says so, it's fine. But 123 from James Cook's damn good.
Yeah. I mean, it's good to see, and obviously it gives us a bit more. Gives us more leeway, gives us more confidence going into the Washington game, which we'll go on to do. And
yes.
Yeah, both they're coming off two good wins. We're coming off a good win against a good team. So it's gonna be an interesting matchup, and I think the key when we discussed it is gonna be offensive line and defensive line. Especially the Bills offensive line versus the Washington defensive line, because they have got serious talent.
The Raiders had one pretty good D lineman, didn't they? And Washington probably have four. Mm. They have four. They have not a bad comparison to the Bills defensive line, really. They are decent. It's going to be a big test for Spencer Brown. It's going to be a big test for Dawkins as well. I feel pretty good about how the interior offensive line is looking with Morse, with McGovern and Osiris Torrance. I'd kind of already forgotten that Osiris Torrance is a rookie because he's just been great. They've just plugged him in at right guard and he's just great. He's a rookie, isn't he? He's only played two games, but you haven't even heard from him. He's they've had the odd pressure and the odd thing, but he's just been great.
Yeah.
It's gonna be another one where they need to buy Josh a bit of time.
Yeah, like I think it's good because he's done 42 snaps in 2 weeks. In last week, in week two, and then gave up one pressure.
Yeah.
And that shows that he's actually improved, and we've got nothing. He's going to be a bargain in that second round.
Yeah.
That's for sure. And I think when you go up against the likes of Chase Young, Montez Sweat, who's that? Tackles, Ioannidis, Deron Payne, whoever I can't remember who the other one is, but when you've got that defensive line and you've got I wouldn't call Spencer Brown a rookie, but you've got two inexperienced guys on the right hand side, you're going to need a lot of help from your tight ends and even Mitch Morse and actually get that protection right. To actually to keep Josh upright.
Yeah. Yeah. If they can get through this game without giving too many pressures or sacks, I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they get through. I can live with a couple of sacks. I can live with some pressures because you have to respect you're not going to win it. You're not going to win them all. They're going to get a few. Mm. But yeah, if they can just limit it, get the ball out quick, get the receivers onto it, and dunk it down the field. Fine by me. Keep them on the field as well. Start to tire them out, and if they can stay with them in that first quarter, second quarter, try and make it pay in the second half.
Yeah, I think what's going to be needed for the Bills is to get the air game going, because if we can get Washington to focus more on, and this is where we need to get again have Josh being his methodical self and actually get everyone involved. I think if there is a weakness to this Washington team, it's going to be the defensive backs.
Yes, the corners aren't quite strong, are they?
It does, and I keep going back to it every single time we talk about it, whether it be preseason or not. It always goes back to does the pass rush make the pass defense great, or is it the pass defense that makes the pass rush great? And I think in the case of Washington, it's the pass rush gives the secondary a lot more time to make the plays.
Yeah.
I mean, there's not Kendall Fuller, Emmanuel Forbes really are the biggest names on there. I mean, Kendall Fuller is probably the bigger name, but Emmanuel Forbes has had quite a decent campaign so far. But there's not really anyone in that defensive back spot. I mean, have you ever heard of Percy Butler, Cameron Curl, Jeremy Reed? You've got guys where
Troy Aptor.
Okay, there are no names on there, but they're looking mainly for Young, Sweat, Ridgeway, Payne, Jonathan Allen, all that, to get the pressure and then go for it. Because, I mean, then if we can get Josh, if Josh can start pushing and pulling and actually making the and making these plays and actually forcing the Commanders to move away from the pass rush and actually try and defend the pass more, then you've got to be in with a really good chance. And this involved means getting everyone involved. And I think on the injury report at the moment, I think Dawson Knox has missed the last two.
Yes.
Training practices.
He's my biggest worry, because he's missed two. James Cook's personally just become a father, hasn't he? So he's personal. Yeah. So he's fine. Poyer's had a vet rest. Jordan Phillips is back to full, so not as worried. Micah Hyde would be a little bit worried. He was limited. Leonard Floyd didn't practice, but then was limited, so at least, as they like to say, trending in the right direction. Terrell Bernard's had two limited, so I sort of think, well, all right, they're taking it easy with him, but he'll be wanting to play. I think Spencer Brown's a limited, so I think he should be okay. I'm a little bit worried about Floyd, a little bit worried about Dawson Knox, but I think the others should be there in good time. It'd be interesting if Quentin Williams comes on for Dawson Knox and they continue playing in 12, whether they go back to 11 and just leave it with Don Kincaid. If Knox is unable to play on Sunday, that'd be
To be honest, I'd be happy with Morris in there, because I mean, Knox and Kincaid, when they played, they haven't blocked that much compared to it, and Morris is definitely not a blocker. I mean, Kincaid has some pass block in him, so if anything, they'll use him. If they have to be passing, they'll use Kincaid as the blocker and have Morris as a receiver. But from what we've seen from Morris in the limited times, he is a very good replacement for Dawson Knox. And I think the key for the Bills is actually just trying to actually keep Sam Howell quiet,
because
he's actually really shown up in these 2 weeks. I mean, Brian Robson, Antonio Gibson, you've got two running backs there that got different skill sets, but both are electric. Gibson can obviously do it all, and Robinson's just been that power back that you need. And then, as I say, they would probably be without Logan Thomas, probably their best tight end, ex-Bills quarterback.
Well, I recognise that.
But you can't really fault, you can't really downplay a Washington offense that you've got. Dotson, McLaren, Curtis Samuel, Dynamite Brown is actually good in the slot. They have Jameson Crowder.
Yeah.
So.
Another ex-Bills.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see, really. I think we've got enough in us to really show up and actually and ride the crest of a wave going into what will be a make or break game, but it'll be
it is one we should win. I know it's one game at a time, but we've got the Dolphins coming up in the following week. It's a game we should win. You look at the you know, fair enough, the Washington are 2-0. They got past 2016 past the Cardinals, which is a bit of a nip and tuck. I don't know if you watched the end of the Denver game. I stayed up, it was about half midnight. So the Broncos were 8 points down. They were 11 points down. They, with about 2 minutes to go, they got the field goal, kicked the ball, gave it back to Washington, forced a three and out, got the ball back again, used up all their timeouts, got it back with, I think it was about 30 seconds left, got to midfield with the last play. Russell Wilson throws a Hail Mary up in, bounces off Washington guy on the 2 yard line and bounces off like the helmets, and the guy tight end catches it in the end zone for the touchdown to make it 35-33. Hail Mary, and then they blow the 2 point conversion, which would have tied the game. Like, they did the hard bit in getting the Hail Mary, and then it looked like a blatant pass interference on the Washington defense, but they did give up 33 points in that game. And they still gave up 16 and scraped past Arizona. So I don't think this is going to be a walkover for the Bills. I think the Washington defensive line will have their fun. I think they've got three or four decent receivers, like you were saying, that they could move the ball downfield. I wouldn't be the least bit surprised if they can get to 14, 17 points. I think they'll have put a couple of good drives together. But on both sides of the ball, I think the Bills should be good enough to get three or four scoring chances and to get them. So I don't think it'll be a walkover. I think I'm going to go, which actually I think of what I said last week, but a sort of 27-17 type game.
I think the question needs to be asked, is it a case that are we going to take the Commanders for granted because they face two teams which are more likely end up going to get top five, top ten draft picks next year, or is
they beat up two bad teams. Yeah, maybe.
Or is it the fact that they are
taking for granted? Though. I think we have to respect them.
Yeah, or is it a case that they're good, but they actually they decided just to have a bit of fun and just shake off the rust, like most of the teams will be doing in the first two or three weeks. So that'll be the interesting question to ask, and how the trenches really hold up, because that is going to be a key to the game. If the Bills can carry on their run defense from the Raiders game, and I can't see why not, then it's really going to be a case of they're grinding out the win. Like you say, it's not going to be a comfortable game for sure. I think you're looking, I'm always going for one score games because at the moment that's where I see games going. So I'm thinking like 24-17.
Okay.
Go on.
No, I'm similar to you. I think Washington gets to 17. I think maybe the Bills get an extra score to make it 27, because I think they are good, and I think if they keep the momentum going, obviously I'm really interested in how the offensive line does against the Washington defensive line, because if they can survive that, then that probably bodes well for the rest of the season, because there's going to be some good lines they've got coming up. But if they can build on that own confidence, give Josh a bit of time, he should be able to pick them apart. Because like you say, the secondary is not the best. We've got some good receivers ourselves. We've got a couple of, well, at least one should be playing, tight ends. We should have enough weapons to outlast them.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a good game. I say we're riding a crest of momentum now. We need to build it up, as I say, when we go into the Dolphins the following week. But that's for another.
Yes, story. Let's worry about that. Let's get Sunday out of the way first.
I want to ask you, obviously, your last thoughts on the Commanders game, and do you have a player to watch? It could be offense or defense, or you can do an offense and a defensive player.
Okay. I'll go defense first, and I will say Trey White. I think this could be I would like this to be a good game for Trey White, that he shuts whoever they put him up against. He shuts them down on the defensive side. I think maybe he needs a couple of games. He's not been bad. He's been perfectly good, but maybe he just likes to see the old Trey we know and love. I think offensive side of the ball, if Knox isn't playing, I'd be interested to see what they do with Kincaid. Do they shelter him, or do they just go, hey, you're just the tight end one now? If Knox isn't, you're just the guy now. Do they trust him with a slightly heavier workload?
Okay, so I'm going on defense. I'm going Bernard.
I think especially
now with the run game last week and how he stepped up and helped out with that, and obviously leading the top tacklers in the last two games, this game is going to be even interesting, because I say Robinson and Gibson, they are quite good running backs. Okay, they're not elite running backs, but they'll give you the hard yards, especially Robinson being a bruiser. So if he can come through that unscathed and actually help this run defense actually keep the score low, or keep the yards low, then I think we rule out any other Dodson, Klein, Matakevich, Dorian Williams from actually getting back into the competition. And we know our two linebackers going forward is going to be Milano and Bernard. I was just talking about him. I just lost his name. I'm going to throw a wild card name in for defense, and Taylor Rapp.
Okay.
Because when he came in, when he's been coming in, they played him as a almost like a box safety, like a nickel cornerback, and sometimes as a linebacker, and he's not been as effective as you would have thought he would have been, but I think it's just him still getting used to the system and the way the play is. But I'm looking for him when he comes in to make that impact. And if Poyer and Hyde, or Hyde's not going to be fit enough to actually play the whole game, they're more likely going to use Rapp over Hamlin, because Hamlin's been a healthy scratch the last two games.
Yeah.
So one to watch, and outsider is Taylor Rapp. And for offense, it's going to be a Torrance. It's going to be how he performs. I think we know what Quinton Morris can do. We know what this offense can do. It's how does... Can Torrance actually back up his play against the Raiders, against this Washington D-line? Because I say, you've got so many different guys there, and they'd like to rotate as well. And if he can hold his own, and actually, even if he gives up one or two pressures and maybe one hit on Allen, if he can actually hold up in there and actually prove it, then we know that this interior line of McGovern, Morse, and Torrance is one of the strongest we've had. And I think that is what you've got to look at. How can Torrance actually build on his performance? And for a second round pick, who I think most people had him graded as a late first, early second, to fall to us in round two.
Yeah.
If he can show up again and actually prove it, then I think our interior is going to be solid. We'll just have to keep an eye on Spencer Brown as the as the right guard, and obviously he would be a second one to look out for on offense. So usually it's the right side of that offensive line to look out for.
Yeah, if they do what they did against Sunday, you know, get a bit of help over there, chip the edges, get an extra tight end, do the thing. I'm absolutely fine with that if that helps shore up that right hand side. Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Because if they can, you know, like I was saying before, you're not going to win them all. You're going to give up a couple of pressures. You're going to give up a couple of hits and maybe the odd sack or two. But if they can limit it and give Josh enough time more often than not, then yeah, I think that pass is a big test for them.
So
cool.
So I think it's going to be interesting. It's another early game. We both think it's going to be a close one. I just want to make a quick personal service announcement. PSA, personal public service announcement. That's the word I was trying to think.
Yeah, not personal service announcement. That's on your other podcast, isn't it? Where you're giving your personal services, Matt. Come on. With a cross promotion.
In 3 weeks' time for the weekender, I'm just to say, if people haven't got tickets for the UK Build Weekender, we do have Friday tickets for the tavern, for the Wapping Tavern, on the door, £10 entry, and we should hopefully have some for Saturday and Sunday entry. So keep an eye on all our socials, so UK_Bills on Facebook, on Instagram, Twitter, Buffalo Bills UK on Facebook. Obviously, follow Robin on his Twitter, follow me on my Twitter, follow the Red, White, Buffalo Blues on their Twitter, and we'll come back next week when we're 2-1, going into momentum for big AFC East clash. And all I can say is, from Robin, I've been Matt, saying good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Thank you for listening, and let's go Buffalo Bills.
Go Bills.
Don't know anything about heart. You know anything about work? Huh? That's who we are. Bills on three. One, two, three.